Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hi, welcome to today's edition of Bodcast. My name's Colin Campbell, I'm a dentist from Nottingham, and today I'm going to chat to you a little bit about the philosophy of leading a dental team. I started to chat about leading dental teams back in around 2002, when we started to initiate courses for dental implants for dental nurses, and that was some of the first dental team education I did. Even from that stage, I think I realised how critical and important it was to have an engaged and committed and well-trained and enthusiastic team behind us, and I was still at the early stages of my career then. And I, as an associate in practice, from back in those days, I got really involved in development of the team within my own practice. I suppose partly that happened because my wife is a nurse in a major hospital setting, and I had been a senior house officer in the hospital, and I would have died if I hadn't been for the nursing team, and very quickly learned that if I didn't look after them, then my life would be utterly miserable, and it kind of really stimulated my interest in the whole development of the team. And so as an associate in quite a large group practice, I took it upon myself to try and develop the guys who were coming into the practice in team roles, and to encourage the principals to invest a little bit in that. Although it was tricky at the time, and back in the 2000s, investment in the dental team was perhaps not as topical as it is today. I think things have moved on extraordinarily since then, and then now we find ourselves talking about leadership within dental teams. So for a few minutes, maybe worth sort of having a thought about leadership and why that might have come into dentistry. So the funny thing is, this is the fourth time at the dentistry show here today that I've been asked to speak about leadership this year, having never ever been asked to speak about leadership before. I don't think that's because all of a sudden I've grown a leadership head and I'm extraordinary. I think it's because leadership's become topical and fashionable and trendy, and it's perhaps also a rebadge name for other aspects of business. And so I would like to just give my sort of view on that. I think leadership is perhaps a little bit ethereal. It's one of those things that is perhaps subjective more than objective. And people try to teach objective aspects of leadership, but if you teach objective aspects of leadership to someone who doesn't want to lead, they're never going to be able to take those things forwards, and certainly not to inspire a team in the true sense of leadership, which I suppose initiates almost from the military. So leadership is an interesting topic, regardless of the size of the team, and I think applies throughout life, and is to do with inspiring people to be better and to align to a vision that they're happy with, and then to work hard to achieve that vision. The areas that I think are really important when it comes to leadership are actually encouraging your team and explaining to your team where you actually feel they're going. So for any organisation, the vision is the ultimate role of the leader, and that is the privilege and the burden that the leader has to carry. And we're all followers of leaders in some aspects of our lives. So, you know, in my house at home, my wife's the leader and she sets the vision, which is great, so I just do what I'm told. But in practice, that's my job. And in our organisation, which is a rapidly expanding high-level specialist dental practice with now 32 members of the team and 13 clinicians, all shoehorned into a tiny space at the moment where we redevelop. I have to keep us on track to the direction that we're going. And if I delegate that responsibility out, it becomes messy and untidy. And I think most people are quite happy to work to a roadmap, but they just need something to be on the roadmap. And so if you give someone a blank piece of paper as a form of directions, then they can't find where they're going. And they really do appreciate some direction and some ability to know where they're going. It doesn't always come easy, because once you set the vision, some people will not like the direction that the map is going. And that's a leadership role too. And so very much we work on the principle of Colin's world in our practice. And that's a philosophy which has been shared out to different areas, to different people, from head teachers to other business owners, in a way of explaining vision to the team. So effectively, in the Campbell Clinic in Nottingham, it's Colin's world, and there are huge advantages, we feel, to being part of Colin's world, some of which we'll present today and some of which are really quite extraordinary. But there are also certain things that are required to be part of Colin's world, and that's a contract. And if you want the advantages, then you have to give the other things that come. And if that's not for you and it doesn't work, then it's okay to go to some other world. And it's okay to start your own world, which is exactly why I started the place that I have. In 2008, in the practice I was in, where I had built the team environment and we had set up an implant service and an oral surgery contract and all sorts of things, it was sold to a large dental corporate, and I was given 2 weeks' notice of the sale. And I left immediately so that I could set up the environment where that wouldn't happen again and where I had control over what happened to my patients. And in theory, in practice, that's why we did it. And that's where it's come from there on. And the team know that and know why we did it. I think the team need to know where you're going and where you see the practice going or the organisation going over a period of time. And they have to want to come along. And it's okay to ask them that too. And I do ask them that repeatedly. And we have a huge redevelopment project, which is going on at the moment. About a year ago, I sat everybody down and I said, are you in for this? Because it's going to get bumpy. And they all said yes, because they saw the shiny bright object. And now when it gets bumpy, I can go back to them and say, but you said it was okay to do this. Is it still not okay? I think that's one of the most important things. I think what's also important to me in leadership is that in one or other aspects of your life, in somewhere in your life, you are a leader. And that doesn't mean you have to be a chief executive of a business, or it doesn't mean you have to be a head teacher, or it doesn't mean you need to be Brown Owl at the Brownies. In somewhere you're leading. Everyone who aspires to progress in their life at some form or another adapts a role of leadership. There's various aspects of leadership that you could talk about. And this year I did some formal leadership training at master's level, which is really stale and really dry. And you're given diagrams and bullet points and matrices to put your staff into. But there's one aspect of formal leadership training which really struck a chord with me, and it's the difference between transformational leadership and transactional leadership. Transactional leadership would be to get a glass of orange juice from your fridge and to take it to your son and to say, drink this orange juice, or I'm going to shoot you through the head with this gun. Whereas getting the orange juice and taking it to your son and saying, I've got a glass of orange juice here as well, and I'm going to drink it, and gosh, it's made me feel better, and isn't orange juice great? So that your son then drinks it is a form of transformational leadership. So I realise that might seem extreme as an example, but transactional leadership is a stick, and transformational leadership is inspiration. And it's not always possible to use transformational leadership, but certainly in our organisation, and I think in future organisations, transformational leadership should be the majority leadership style that we use, only reverting to transactional leadership style when everything else has failed. Some of the things I'll talk about today in the theatre are the responsibilities of leaders in all aspects of employment, in the health and well-being of their teams. Not because it makes you more money, which it does, but because actually as a leader that's the responsibility you've taken on. In some of the studies that I'll present today in the lecture, 70 to 80% of people are reported to be disengaged or utterly disengaged with their work. And this ties in with the huge numbers of people that are reported to be suffering mental health issues and depression. So we could flip this back and say that we have a leadership responsibility to make our work engaging and to make it engaging for our teams. And the funny thing is that when you do that, it doesn't feel like being at work. Then that ties back in with work-life balance, which is irrelevant if you enjoy your work. There is no work-life balance if you enjoy your work, because your work is your life, as other parts of it are. And so if you can get the balance right at work with what it feels like, it doesn't feel like you're going to work in spite of your life. And when we do that, what happens to our businesses and our organisations is that they prosper and they thrive, because everybody who is in the organisation works for the leader and then protects the leader when it's difficult for the leader. And that is the anthropological basis of leadership. The leader protects the tribe, and in turn, when the leader has difficulty, the tribe protect the leader, because they understand that the tribe will not exist if the leader is not protected. And so the paradox of leadership is that what we're trying to do is develop our team to be better so that they pass us and put us out of a job so that we can watch them with contentment and satisfaction as they become our leaders. Thanks for listening.